To the Practical Revitalization Podcast, where we discuss church revitalization and issues in real time, both throughout New England and abroad. Now here's your hosts, Don McKinnon and Natalie McKinnon.
Hey, welcome back to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. I am your host, one of them, Don McKinnon. And today we're going to be discussing why we need multiple ways of discipleship. Now, I know a lot of churches out there will do discipleship based on, I'm trying to think of how to word this. They'll do their discipleship in small groups, and others will have one-on-one. And it's very rare, I think, today that I've seen where churches will use both forms. And I'm the type of guy that believes we need both forms. In fact, we use both forms at Legacy. My wife will have the women's group. I have the men's group. But there are people who we individually meet with and disciple and talk with and mentor. And I think that's the most biblical way. Just look at Jesus' example. He has the 12, and he's discipling with them, the disciples, even though we know the 12 become the apostles, and there are other disciples. But he meets with the 12, and then he will pull aside Peter, James, and John for a little more depth, a little more closer teachings, and they get to witness more, such as the Transfiguration. Now, this isn't saying that there's secret teachings. That's one thing a lot of cults will say is that, well, it's proof of secret teachings. No, it's not. It's that sometimes individuals need just a little more when it comes to discipling. And you think about Peter. Peter had a hot head. He had a temper. Even in the book of Acts, we see where he's still learning. You think about when he has his vision just before he goes to see Cornelius, and he's fighting with the Lord about you know, what the Lord makes clean and how that works out for him. It even says in those scriptures that he's perplexed and that he's wrestling with what he learned, you know, what he was revealed to him. And it's proof that I think when we are discipling people, sometimes they come to us, especially, you know, even though we are to be discipling, new believers, when we have those individuals from other churches who come to the church from other walks of life. I'm trying to think, you know, from other churches here. They come with a set, you know, a set ideas, set things that have been brought to them by their previous church. In other words, they have, these are the individuals, they're good, and I'm not making fun of them, I'm not saying they're troublemakers, but they come to your church and they'll wonder why you and your church are doing things one way when, hey, at my old church, we used to do it this way. Now, sometimes the way that the other church did it may actually be better for your church to look at. So I'm not saying not to listen to them. But what I'm saying is, you know, they come in and they hear something theologically and they question that. And so sometimes people have been in a church for 5, 10, 15, even 20 years, even longer, and they still do not understand things. And those people need to be set aside, and you need to mentor them and disciple them one-on-one, perhaps, before bringing them into a group where then they hear things, and rather than like question it, it really makes sense to them. Or in some cases, it's good to bring them into a group, because it, depending on how your groups are, if the people that you have are really wise in their walk, in fact, you might have individuals who you're training to disciple their own people in groups, those people would be the ones that would also be able to help. And you can see how well they understand what you've been teaching and discipling them in, so that they would be able to, you know, help the next generation in your church. So what we see within a church is these cases where groups are a good thing and one-on-one is a good thing. And I think you do have to do them both together. Let me give you a good example based on some of the stuff that we've said. I know it seems kind of loosey-goosey, but let me explain it in this way. Say you have an individual who's been attending your church. Maybe they accepted Christ a few years ago, and so you've been discipling them and helping them understand their walk and really sharpening their faith with them, getting in depth. Perhaps you're going through a good theological book, something that's not too deep, but something that's not too light. I might say Erickson's book on theology would be a good one in that regard. And now you're thinking about, okay, I've got a few more people and I want to go a little more in depth. And so you start a group with this individual and two or three other individuals that have been in your immediate vicinity. And you're going to start using this group to teach one another. Now you have, let's say, an individual who starts coming to your church who you can tell from talking to them, let's just say we know we don't want transfer growth. We know we want conversion growth. So let's just say, though, that this person moves into your area with their family, and you can tell that that person has a good knowledge, but you can also tell that this person, you know, is still wrestling with a few thoughts and ideas theologically. They haven't had the chance to work them through. That individual would be good if you feel comfortable enough that if you can tell that he's got a good theological base to bring them into the bigger group, because if you have already been discipling the bigger group for some time and you know where they are, it can really fulfill that Proverbs 27:17, where iron sharpens iron. And what you can see is you can see where those individuals may meet, you know, let's just put it this way. Maybe you decide to meet on Saturdays. Now, I have a Saturday morning group and we don't really eat breakfast, but I have a Saturday morning group I meet with. And some of the things that we decide to do is, you know, go through books of the Bible or read books together. And we discuss. And in many cases, what's happened is I've seen it where there's a couple of individuals who have been Christians for a while, but they're still wrestling with something. And as we're going through a book of the Bible, they're really wrestling with something in the description in the Bible that makes them really feel challenged. And so they feel comfortable enough in the group to bring it up. And the group, not just me, but the group as a whole, is sitting there and wrestling with the text. And we think about it theologically, and we bring to a conclusion what we believe the text is saying. Now, you're not going to sit there with concordances and everything throughout your discipleship process. So you'll sit there, and what I found with our group is when we sit down there and we're wrestling with it, and we come to a theological end to the text, I'll sit there and I'll go back and I'll read it in a concordance. And if I see that, hey, we got it right except for this part here, I'll bring that up to them. And then we'll discuss that and say, hey, this is what it really meant. You know, we were close, but we didn't see this, or we didn't understand that. And it becomes a good process. Again, This is the good part of groups. Where you might want to meet one-on-one is where it's a new believer. Maybe you don't have groups. Maybe you haven't had too many new converts over a period of time. And so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to meet with this person to help them get a basis for their faith, help them walk through, let them ask questions in a safe environment. Let's just remember that a lot of people, when they come to Christ, they're feeling like they're not on the same level as many of us are, because they sit there and they're trying to find out what it is, why it is that we believe certain things in certain ways and certain places and all those things. And they feel like they can't ask us questions. They feel like they can't go into a group and ask questions. And so we want to make a safe environment for them to ask those questions. So if they're meeting with you as the pastor, they're going to feel safer asking you, you know, what is propitiation, what is sanctification, what is justification, words that we commonly use up on the pulpit that they have no idea, and they're going to feel like they can't ask in a more public setting because they don't want to make the other people feel like, you know, they're dumb. And we know that they're new believers, but this is what human nature is. It still shows us this thing that we have to be, as Christ said, wise as serpents, gentle as doves. And so that's where one-on-one works. And once you get into that point with the individual and you feel, you know, now is the time to bring them into a group, that's what you do. All right. Anyway, that's today's short take. We're going to say bye here, and I will talk to you all later. I'm praying for you, especially with Easter around the corner, and just know that no matter what, God is going to send you who He wants to this Easter season. God bless.